Yeah, your audio is good and the signal is holding good. I'm not sure how much battery power you got left in the battery, but there's no issues with it at all. I'd be happy if I was able to use my Bofang when I got outside and was doing stuff. The only thing I could use it for really would be to, when I walk to the mailbox, I could take it with me to maintain a QSO on 2 meters or 440, whatever I would be able to get into. But I got a long driveway, 800 feet, quarter of a mile to walk to the mailbox and back. Good exercise.
There's also those at-home hotspots where you're talking VHF back to your little Raspberry Pi or whatever, and then it puts you on the internet.
Yep, and I don't go that direction. I've been an amateur for 25 years, and when I got into the hobby, I had a good job, and I made big investments into radio equipment and antennas. And I am totally against anybody that uses the internet to get into a repeater to have a conversation. If they don't use radio, it's not amateur radio. It's internet. It's not amateur radio. And I'm not going to change. That's just the way I'm going to go to the grave thinking that way, and everybody else who wants to do it the other way, more power to them, but it's not radio.
No, I agree. I signed up for Echolink just to see who I could find and who I could talk to and listen to, but lately I've been trying to encourage friends in the area to get their licenses because I want to try some like Wi-Fi experiments.
Well, there you go. There's advantages of going through all that. At the moment, I'm having a dispute with Spectrum. They came out and installed internet. It was supposed to be free installation, and they charged me $70. And I told them I wasn't going to pay it, and they shut it off, and I don't have internet access, and it's been a couple of months, and I don't really care. I got satellite TV, and I got amateur radio, and I got a cell phone if I need to talk to somebody, and ATV.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. I'm sorry to hear that they shut your internet off there. But satellite internet honestly sounds horrible. I'm so spoiled living here in the city. The house we lived at before had fiber optic internet. That was a gig up and a gig down symmetrical. It was awesome. Where we live now, we only have cable. It's not as fast, but it's probably a lot better than any satellite could be right now.
Yeah, affirmative. I used to have Spectrum when Charter was running it. It used to be Charter Spectrum by my TTH. And they were charging me $120 a month for internet access. And when I would call them up and ask them why they raised the price, because they raised my price 3 times in 2 years. And the last time I called them to talk to them, they charged me $15 to talk to a customer service representative. And that pissed me off something fierce. So after that, I just told them to turn it off, and I was going to go to HughesNet. But they kept sending me crap in the mail all the time. So I called them up, and they turned it on, and it worked for a month. And I got my bill, and it had $70 installation fee. When they told me it was going to be free, I called them up and they said they couldn't do nothing about it, so I didn't pay the bill. So that's my story. I had Charter or Spectrum, another dispute about what they do. I don't like them. Spectrum is like the Verizon of the cell phone industry. All they're concerned about is screwing their customers and making money.
No, I guess
hopefully you're not a Verizon customer.
I guess I have to have it. I don't know if there's any way around it, you know? I mean, my cell phone has connection, I have a tablet with connection, and then I also have to pay for the house, you know? So, I mean, it's in every part of our lives. KEACUW.
No, I understand completely. I've always had the internet, and they kept raising the price. $120 a month for 100 meg service was too much money. And when I called them up and talked to them, they said they didn't offer anything less than 100 meg service. I don't need 100 meg service. 100 meg service is for people who have 7 kids. And nobody has nothing to do but get online and use bandwidth. And I got disgusted with them and had them shut it off, and they kept sending me stuff, and I got the new deal. I got 50 meg service for $30 a month, which was a good deal compared to how bad they were screwing me earlier. And after the installation fee that they wanted me to pay, I wasn't going to do it. So now I'm going to HughesNet. It's more money. It's satellite. I've dealt with satellite for 30 years. My first satellite dish I had to buy from Best Buy. It was through DirecTV. And I had to pay $1,000 for the dish and install it myself. And after that, of course, you could get DirecTV or Dish Network free installation and for a good deal. But back then, there was no cable out here, and satellite just came out, and I was one of those fools that decided to do it myself. And the first DirecTV dish I got had a bad LNB in the dish out by the yard. So I had to pack it all back up, take it to Best Buy, give it to them, and get another one, which worked. So it's been a learning experience in ATV.
I'm pretty lucky in that respect. I don't think I've had to buy anything or replace anything in a long time. I recently added to my collection a portable monitor so that when I'm set up at work, my laptop has a second screen, and I really like it.
Is that Bluetooth enabled, or is it Wi-Fi?
No, this is like, okay, so it looks a lot like a tablet. It's very flat. It has a case that folds over itself. And then you hook it up to power over a USB-C, and then you hook the video signal to my laptop up over a HDMI cable. Other laptops that are able to put out a video signal over the USB-C can run it with one cable.
No, in my opinion, that's a better way of going. HDMI is what all my laptops got. And I got it hooked to the TV in the living room. I got one in my office for business, one in my living room for TV, and the other one is for Pandora for music only. And I pay for Pandora. I don't do the free one. I hate commercials, and I won't listen to commercials. And I have a good stereo. So the last thing I want to hear is commercials. I don't like them on satellite, I don't like them on TV, and I don't like them in the music.
I totally agree with you. I have Spotify that I pay for. Other people have told me that they've had quality issues with Spotify, but I have not. I've had great experience. So my main stereo, well, my everyday stereo is just a set of generic sports speakers, and then I've got a more modern little receiver hooked up to them for, like, you know, the main PC audio. But all of my good stereos are put away right now.
Well, that would be tough. The people in Saginaw here that own the listening room, the audio shop, I've known since they've went into business, and go to their house and buy my stereo equipment, and we're always haggling over prices. I don't buy new equipment, I always buy used equipment. And there's a group of us, and we call ourselves the Kilowatt Club. And that means you have to have at least 1,000 watts RMS of audio power to be a member. And 1,000 watts of audio power is nowadays difficult to come up with. But if you buy vintage equipment, it's easy. And the big power amp I'm using right now, I got two amps, one for the front speaker and one for the back set of speakers. And the back one's a Sansui. It weighs 125 pounds. It's a iron, well, it uses transformers and not a switching power supply. Everybody thinks a switching power supply is neat and it's lightweight, but when it comes to performance, it has limitations.
Well, wattage is effort per time, right? That big old transformer already has that effort there in the magnetic field to just come and hit your subwoofer or whatever, you know, whatever you need it for. With a switching power supply, the power isn't there. It hasn't happened yet.
Affirmative. Yep. Induction. You need capacitors and you need iron transformers. And switching power supplies have capacitors, but induction and capacitance work together if you get everything set up well. And that's the same way with what I run my house. I have a 4-kilowatt pure sine wave inverter. And all the ones I was looking at 15 years ago were lightweight, and I mean they weighed 30 or 40 pounds. And the one I ended up buying weighed 100 pounds, and it was a transformer inverter. And what I learned on stereo equipment, I transferred over to the power source for my home. And having a transformer inverter is a more durable and can do better performance than a switching inverter, which doesn't have any capacity behind the rain. But I live in the country and I like loud music and I can turn it up and not piss anybody off. It ain't TV.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Maybe you're the right person to ask. So, I have a 500 watt field subwoofer made by Earthquake Sound. It's an active subwoofer. All of the electronics are built into it. And it seems like I can't get away from it having just a hum to it. Do you think a power conditioner would help my situation?
Well, is this in a vehicle running off a battery, or is it in your house hooked up to your stereo system?
In my house hooked up to my stereo system, I have an Earthquake Sound Supernova Mark IV 12.
Well, all right. The first thing I would do to get rid of the audio problem would be to run a ground wire between your subwoofer and your audio source, whether it's your laptop or whether you're using a regular receiver, a stereo receiver of some kind. But try grounding both things to get rid of the audio noise. Either that or buy therapy beads, put them on the cables, and see if you can work it out that way.
Those are both good options. Thank you very much. I did buy some stereo beads recently. I don't know if you have any experience with those.
Well, that would be where I would try, you know, grounding the system. And you got to be careful sometimes. Your plugs aren't polarized on certain equipment. Every plug on a piece of equipment is supposed to have one prong bigger than the other one. And if you got something that doesn't believe in that philosophy, if it's made in China or something like that and it's not polarized, you might have an audio source coming through the 115-volt power that if you turn the cord around and put it in the opposite way, it might get rid of it doing that. And those ferrite beads you got, the bigger the better. And you might have to put more than one or two on a cable. But put them on the audio cable, not the power cable. But you could try doing both. And it's just a process of elimination. You just got to keep going through stuff until you figure it out. And there might be 5 or 10 steps that you need to do before you take care of it.
What frequency? 1422.
Well, you dropped the repeater on your last transmission. I didn't catch it. Try again.
What frequency did you say you're getting this repeater on?
442.200. I think it's down by Chesney or down towards Flint in that direction. Not really sure what the location of it is.
It looks like it's going to be located in Spurs. This is KCACLQ.
Yep, that sounds right now that you said it. I got a repeater directory here, and I could probably punch it in online and take care of it and find out that way, but like I told you at the moment, my internet access has been interrupted due to negligence and bad attitude, but looking to solve the problem rather quickly. Winter is here, and it's having internet access is best. I got a bunch of CDs for music, but Pandora has spoiled me. I've done Pandora ever since they've been available, and I decided a long time ago to just give them the $5 a month so I don't have to listen to the stupid commercials about everything everybody knows. But yeah, and I, you gotta forgive me, I was writing your call down, it looked like you have been an amateur for, what, a year or two maybe, over?
Yes, sir, just about a year and a half. Fred, a Zulu in
Well, congratulations. Like I say, it's a great hobby. And I get the most enjoyment out of it, talking all around the world. I out to Europe in the morning, South America in the afternoon, and Asia in the evening. And yesterday I had about a 5-minute conversation with a guy in Australia, out on an island next to Australia. And it was 11 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, and it was 6 o'clock in the evening here, Friday. So there was like 14 hours or 16 hours time difference, and he was drinking coffee while I was having a beer. So, it's 10 meters. I hope you, I don't know if you've done any work on 10 meters, but you can really get really carried away and fascinated.
You know, it looks to me like there's a packing station not too far from here. You could get Rindman working.
Would you say to use WinZip, it sounded like you said?
Okay, so the system that we're talking about, WACNN, they have another system that's MI7. It's packet radio is what it is. And it connects you to email and the internet.
Alright. I'm not sure if I'm going to go in that direction to get my email. Like I said, I'm calling HughesNet again tomorrow. I'm not going to deal with Spectrum anymore. I'm going to try satellite. I know there's problems with satellite, with dealing with snow and rain and what have you, and that's fine. I'm not that dedicated. I can put in a CD if Pandora goes out, and if I gotta walk outside and brush the snow off the dish, I gotta do that with my satellite TV anyway. But I'm done dealing with cable. I'm gonna try satellite. I know there's pros and cons, but they got a new satellite up, and they claim that they don't have as many problems as they used to. So I'll find out. Plus it's $50 a month for 50 meg service off of satellite too. So same thing, Spectrum was charging me $35 a month for 50 meg service. So it's a little bit more expensive. But, HughesNet told me if I wanted to buy the box that they would match the price of Spectrum for the receiver and transmitter box that I need to use for the internet and the satellite work. And the only thing with it is it's $400. So you're not saving any money, but in the long run, I guess you would be. And I don't like Spectrum, so it's the way I'm going.
Yeah, we're stuck with Comcast out here, but whatever. It gets it done. K-E-A-C-U-W.
Well, there you go. And you'll find this interesting. My first computer that I bought 30 years ago had a 1200 baud modem in it, and if you downloaded a picture, it would take 20 minutes or longer for it to appear. That's how slow it was back when I got online years and years ago, and you had to multitask. You had to, I forget what we were doing. You had to fire up, I think it was not Netscape, but there was a provider you logged into and then you fired up your internet program. It wasn't just log on and go for it. You had to mess around for a minute to get online. But it was a learning experience, and now things are easier and more money and sometimes a little bit more interesting. 1200 baht is slow, 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 let me tell you.
This repeater is actually really nice. My buddy in Livonia says he can hear us, and that's coming all the way from Warren. The problem is he says that we're also leading down to 442.595. That's on our end.
Well, I didn't know it was linked together. If it's linked together, then there's three or four or who knows how many repeaters hooked onto this link. And I was unaware it was a linked repeater, so hopefully nobody is waiting for us to be quiet. If somebody else wants to use a repeater, sorry for hogging it, we'll stand by for a minute. NETVE. Well, it's Sunday night. I guess we're the only ones up. So, got a couple of books sitting on that desk there you're waiting to read after you get done on the radio?
Right now I'm a Calc 2 student. I'm also taking chemistry and economics. I have a Calc lesson and I have an economics lesson tomorrow, so I have to get those things done. It's probably going to be, you know, my whole night here working on it, but it'll be all right.
Do you do online schooling, or do you go to the university?
All of my classes this semester are in-person classes, but all of the homework is done through the internet. And I can work on things, obviously, and make it work.
Well, cool. And how many classes you take, and then three or four, or how many? I know you said three, but I didn't know if that was total.
Full-time student. $300, it's okay. We get through this, and then I guess things are supposed to get a little easier once I'm done with my math requirements, but I'm not so sure. Can I ask what, oh no, you're a mechanical contractor, that's fine. $800.
Yeah, my training was in electronics, and I did service work at a company called Montgomery Wards for years and years. I was a road technician that went to people's homes and worked on their televisions and stereos and other things. And worked there from the time I was 17 until about 20. And I had a roommate whose father owned a refrigeration company. And I parted ways working at Montgomery Wards. And he offered me a job and I went to work for him in the refrigeration industry. And he said he would pay for my college and he did. So I went to college, and I got my license, and we had difficulties about wanting me to buy half of his business, and I took a pay cut to get half of his business for 5 years, and after the pay cut, it was I had to pay for using the vehicle to make money. And I had to buy my work uniforms, and there was no paid time off, and it just kept going and going, and I'm like, I mean, if I gotta go through all this crap, I might as well just open up my own business. So when I was 24, I struck it out on my own, and I made a living, good living, but I ran into the back of a farm tractor and my life changed.
AVACUW, how long ago was your accident?
It would be about 17 years now. I turned 65 here, and I retired 2 years ago from working. But I was pinned in the vehicle. It was my neighbor's kid was bringing a farm tractor home after dark and didn't have no lights on. And it was a big tractor. It had a 20-row plow on the back of it. And it was bolted up, and he was going down the middle of the highway. And there was a guy in a pickup truck in front of me. And he swerved into the other lane. I thought a deer ran out in front of him. And the next thing, I was bashing into the back of this big plow. So I'm happy to be alive. I should have died. There was a plow blade that went on either side of my head through the cab I was in on the van. Every time I get pissed off about it, I say, don't get mad. Just be happy you're still here, because you could have been over another 6 inches and been sliced in two. So that's the way I live my life, but I can't drive anymore. The airbag saved my life, but it detached the retinas in my eyes, so I lost my vision. And they did a whole bunch of operations on my eyes, and I finally I got partial vision back in one eye, and I said, I'm done. I had 9 surgeries on my eyes, and I said, no more, I'm done. I'll just live with it. And it sucks. I got 10 acres of land. If I didn't own land, I'd be in prison.
I hope you're okay now.
Yeah, there's been a big adjustment. After the accident, I was still working. I had a business to run and 3 employees. So I had to pay to get driven to jobs. And things slowed down a little bit. And I hired some other people to drive me around. But getting driven into going to do work was inconvenient, to say the least. Every time the phone rang, you had to sit down and figure out what was busted and what you're going to need to fix it, and go through and get everything organized and put together and load it, and go to the job and hopefully get it finished and get paid. So doing that when you don't have good vision, and there's some other things that happened in the accident I'm not going to bore you with, but I can't walk anymore, and it was difficult.
Did you have good family support? Do you have kids? Are you married?
Well, I've been married twice, and I got one kid and several accusations. But all that is a different direction. I got family that live about an hour and a half away. So we help each other out. If they're interested in buying a TV or something breaks in their house, or if I can give them advice, I do. And every holiday they come and get me, and I go out for dinner, and then they give me a ride back. I come from a law enforcement family, so needless to say, things are interesting at the holidays.
Well, that sounds good. That's the best thing you can have.
Yep, and lots of hobbies. Like I say, stereo and amateur radio are part of it. and my house runs off the sun and the wind, and keep that working properly and taking care of the battery in the basement. The battery in the basement is 6 foot tall, and it's 52 inches wide and 30 inches deep. And it's a 24-volt battery that holds 3,200 ampere hours of power, and it weighs 6,000 pounds. So imagine having that battery in the basement, and that's your source of power 24 hours a day. And if the wind ain't blowing and the sun ain't shining, things can be interesting. You have to go into miser mode. My battery will run the house for 3 days if I don't have any sun or wind. And winter is a little more difficult than summer. Summertime, there's no issues, but winter, you gotta watch what you're doing. Plus, I heat with wood. I got a wood stove and a pellet stove in the basement that keep me warm. And, it's always an adventure. I got ducks and goats and chickens and turkeys and rabbits, and I got 5 cats. So, there's things that always need attention. Got any pets?
I do. So, I don't believe in buying from a breeder, so we always rescue. So the first one we rescued was a German Shepherd. His name is Glover, and he had been hit by a car or something. He had a broken leg and it didn't feel right, so he kind of favors that one, but kept it, and sometimes he's okay. He's a great dog now. We've had him over 5 or 6 years. And then we have another rescue. Abby is a pit bull mix who had one of her rear legs amputated before we got her. So I've got like an island of misfit toys over there.
Well, that's good. That's basically the same deal I got going on here. I went to animal control. I had outside cats. And I was going to try to figure out what outside cat to bring in. And I thought it wouldn't be fair to all the outside cats to just bring in one. So I started making trips to animal control to look at cats to bring into the house. And I found a black long-haired cat. I went there 3 times before I picked one out. And he was in a cage down in the corner all by himself with 2 other cages on top of him. And when I walked by and was looking at all the cats, he stuck his little paw out. He's only about the size of a pop bottle. And I got him out, and he was friendly, and he was intelligent, and I brought him home. I paid him the money and brought the cat home. So, but he got ill, and I had to put him on special food from the vet, and it cost $50 a month for the damn food to keep the cat alive, and he's been eating it since he's been less than a year old, and now he's 12. So he does good. He sleeps up on the bed every night, and I got another cat that his eye got messed up. And when he was a kitten the size of a pack of cigarettes, they had to remove his eye. So I got a one-eyed cat, and I got another cat that's got to have special food. And I got 2 cats that would like to say they're normal, but they're cats.
Yeah, my rescue dogs, you couldn't ask for better attitudes. They're great with the kids, they listen real good, they're my little buddies, but we've also spent a lot of time on them, you know? You can't just get a dog and treat it like an appliance.
Nope, and that's what everybody forgets. You gotta spend time with them to make them a good animal, and if you don't spend time with them, they or they don't know. And the more time you spend with them, the better animal they are. So, I've always had dogs too, but the dog I had, she passed away a couple of years ago. She was Collie, a shepherd. And she was a rescue dog, and I'd like to get another dog. My long-haired friend that was living with me a year ago, she had a Chihuahua. And that dog barked at the wind. And I would never get a Chihuahua. I didn't have any choice to say anything about it because the dog came with the owner. But she bought the house next to me, and we're still real good friends. We just don't do each other's laundry anymore.
Well, that's as good of an ending as you can expect. I was just looking at the different distances, and I am just excited to try and get more people into this radio. I mean, honestly, I wish my little brother would, but he's got no interest.
Well, there's, you gotta convince them that if the power goes out and the cell towers go down, it's only gonna be people like you and me that are talking. And everybody's gonna be scratching their balls wondering how they can make contact with somebody. And anybody that doesn't wanna put the effort into getting a license is, hopefully they can find a transistor radio somewhere with a good battery and turn it on and listen to the AM or the FM station. But we were, today when we were talking on 10 meters, there was a guy out by Los Angeles that jumped in, and he was about 15 miles away from where the fires were at. And he was explaining what was going on out in Los Angeles and the difficulties going on out there with dealing with the fires. And it was an interesting conversation. And talking to somebody in person is a little different than watching it on the news. And if you like to talk to people, radio is great. Because how they talk and how they say things and what they talk about, you can figure out 90% of a person's personality.
KUCW, give me one moment.
NATVE, Hemlock.
Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. The one caveat here is that I occasionally have to go answer a customer at the desk.
Yeah, yep, that's part of the job. It'd be nice if you could sit there and get paid for doing nothing, but occasionally gotta do what's required.
Well, I don't mind it too much. Come here, I get to talk to mostly nice people. I go to school, I come home, everyone at home is great. I got it figured out, man.
Yeah, I'm curious. Married, got a wife and kids, or any allegations?
I have a wonderful wife, and I have two young daughters. One of them is 2, and the other is about to be 1 year in the spring.
Well, congratulations. The most important things in your life, family. So, just keep busy, have a sense of humor, and don't get sidetracked.
Absolutely not. I'm a little bit older, kind of coming to the game. My wife and I didn't get married until we were 30 and 31. So, here we are. You know, turned around 5 years later, we got 2 kids. Things were going pretty good.
having a family is good motivation to get up and go to work. That's what I always used to use for motivation to get out of bed and get up there and hop in the work truck and go out and make money. The only problem was is I thought owning my own business would be easier and cheaper and more interesting than working for somebody else. But when you own a business, anytime anything goes wrong, you're responsible. So it can be difficult at times, especially when things go wrong that you have no control over. But how you handle it determines what kind of person you are. So every day is a learning experience.
It absolutely is. I have to tell you, whatever else I'm doing, I wish I didn't have to be doing that, and I could just be home. KEAZUW.
Oh, affirmative. I used to live in the city, up by I-75, little town called Bridgeport, right on the highway I lived. And when I got out of school, I bought a, or I didn't buy, but I rented an apartment. Lived there for 12 years, and the place I was living at got bought out by a new owner. And the first thing they did was double the rent. So I decided that I didn't like living there to begin with because it was violence prone. And living on the side of a highway is noisy, 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 but when you're young, you're stupid. And I didn't realize that the reason I didn't sleep good at night was because the gunshots going off and all the trucks going by and the windows rattling. And when they doubled the rent, I decided to move. So I got a map out and circled the area where I wanted to live at, and I wanted to go into the country. So I'd get out of work and go for a ride and go up and down roads with a plat book that showed you who owned the land and how much property they had. And if I found a stand of woods that I was interested in, I would call them up or get a hold of them. But I live back in the woods, and I'm a nature lover. And the deer go up and down the driveway. I used to harvest deer here for food, but I have friends that are hunters, and I don't hunt anymore with my vision being the way it is. And my buddy just got back from Wyoming. He had shot an elk, so I've been eating elk steak and antelope and venison. So that goes on the grill when I have a dinner. And I grill out all year. Probably 4 times a week the grill's fired up to do some kind of wild game or even a ribeye steak is, I like beef. And a ribeye steak is one of the better things I enjoy. That with the grilled vegetables or shish kebab, whatever you're doing, but not sure where I was going with the conversation, but living in the country got me out of the city, and it slowed me down and made me appreciate peace and quiet, was my point, I guess, NATVE.
Do you use any DMR or fusion radios?
Nope. The radio I'm talking to you on is a Yaesu. It's an old one. It's an FT-712. And it was a 440 mobile. And it's 35 or 40 watts. And it's hooked through a Tokyo high power amplifier, but the amplifier is off. And I got the matching 2 meter radio. That's 212, FT212. And they're about 25 years old. The display still works, but the backlight has burned out. So having vision problems, every time I look at the display, I got to use a flashlight. So it's kind of a pain, but the radios are paid for. I've had them for years, and as long as they don't smoke when I turn them on, I keep using them. And hopefully the audio's fair. I haven't even asked you. I had to buy a new microphone for this radio, and I've been talking to you on it. Does the audio sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great, brother. You're just, again, you're coming through this little bow thing. Yeah, but, you sound great. How am I coming through to you?
No, you're Q5. Once in a while, if you're moving around, it'll drop out, but when you're sitting at your desk or whatever you're doing, you're hitting the repeater good, it's not dropping out, and your audio is excellent.
Yeah, I'm a nervous talker. Sorry about that. I'm trying to get better with my mic etiquette. KEACUW.
No, there's no problem there. It takes a while. Once you figure out what you need to say and you get a certain routine down, talking to people on the radio flows together pretty good. And I've always had a hankering for doing DX work on HF. And VHF and UHF, we're using UHF right now, but I used to experiment with doing VHF and UHF. Besides these two radios, I got a Yaesu, a 736 Yaesu tri-bander, which does sideband and CW and the other modes that the FM radios don't do. And I got a power amp for every band. I'm using a Mirage on 2 meter. And I got a Tokyo high power for 440. And I got an RF Concepts for 6 meter. So I run a couple of hundred watts on every band, and I bought the best antenna that I could get my hands on at the time. And when I say best antennas, I mean the most amount of elements. The more elements on a boom, the better the gain, the higher the performance. So it's all goes hand in hand. Get a good radio, get an amplifier, buy a good antenna, and the other thing that's important is feed line. And I've always went with 9913, but now they got feed lines that make my stuff I'm using here obsolete. But as long as it works when I turn it on, I keep using it, and I can't justify putting my life in danger to replace all the feed line up the towers to the antennas.
I really enjoy making time. Sorry, hang on. Work responsibility. KEACUW.
NATVE.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, no problem. I understand completely. If somebody walks in the door, you gotta get their money and give them a key.
So, as my kids get older, I think that GMRS is going to be a really cool toy to play with that. Because obviously they can't be amateur radio, so it's going to be a good test. Has this
Well, I don't have a GMRS license. know to do it and do it right, you need to get a another certificate. You can't use your normal amateur radio license with GMRS. And there are several other bands. It's kind of a low-level entry point into amateur radio. And I'm not sure if you have to get tested to get your license, or you just give them the money and you get your call letters. But whatever people want to do, I mean, cell phones are great. They have their place, but they also have limitations. And the limitations with smartphones and cell phones and the internet is that people, when that stuff goes out, the ones that got a radio and a battery down on the floor are going to be the ones that are talking and staying informed while the rest of the world is trying to figure out what's going on. And I put no faith in humanity anymore. Every day there seems to be more idiots, and I come to the conclusion that 90% of the world is screwed up. I wish I was wrong, but it seems like more and more I think I'm right.
I think I must have fixed the weird system structure.
Say it again, please. You were breaking up.
Unless we fix the basic structure, it's always going to be a race to the bottom. Think about it. People don't really have a craft anymore. People hardly have a career, you know? You just kind of go from job to job.
Yeah, affirmative with that. When I was growing up, years ago, it was all about getting out of the house. You finish school, and if you went to college, it was different. You stayed at home, and you lived in your bedroom, and you went to school, and you had things easier. And when I grew up, all the people I grew up with, there was a group of about 8 or 10 of us, and everybody wanted to live at home. And when I was young, you were judged on your manhood by getting a job and moving out of the house and paying bills, getting a vehicle, and being responsible. And nowadays, that doesn't seem to be the direction. I know people that are 40, I don't know them, but I have acquaintances that are in their 40s that still live at home and don't work. And I can't believe that they can get away with that. What an imposition on your parents that would be.
One minute. Well, they hung up on me. That's fine. Yeah, absolutely an imposition. For me, it's kind of the other way around. I'm at my grandmother's of her, the world, easier than when I had my own rental, and then going back and forth because I'd have to mow my lawn, mow her lawn, clean my floors, clean her floors, and then, you know, bring food back and forth. So things are a lot better this way. But I can understand not understanding how people get by. Some people seem like they never do a day's work, you know?
Yeah, affirmative. I got a guy I went to high school with. He was a so-called friend, but he was went in a different direction than I did. And he's in his mid-60s. His dad's a doctor, and he still lives at home. And he doesn't work, and his dad had to buy 100 acres of farmland so that his kid would have a hobby and something to do to be productive. Now, they bought tractors, and they went into it a different way, but to me, that just, I don't know, That's a little too different for me, and that's not the direction I would do it. And, no. It ain't TV. And I didn't catch your name. I got your name the first time. I got your car written down, but I didn't write down your name. Can you send me your name again, please?
The name here is Ben, Bravo Echo November, like Ben Franklin.
Roger, Ben. Thank you. I got it written down now. If I don't write it down, I sometimes have a problem remembering stuff. When you get older, you'll probably end up dealing with that kind of stuff, too.
I am already that old. The biggest lie you'll ever tell yourself is, oh, I'll remember that. K-E-A-C-U-W.
Yeah, affirmative. I got 5 or 6 different lists floating around the kitchen table. And there are things I need to do, things I want to do, and things I have to do. And the other list is things that cost money and things that don't cost money. And by the time you go through them, there's 100 things that need to be taken care of. And I used to try to cross 4 or 5 off a day, and now I'm happy if I can get 1 or 2. But as long as you keep busy and don't sit on your ass, things will go in the proper direction. And that's it. You need to stay active and do things. So, and having hobbies, if they aren't expensive, are a good way of going.
I've always been into electronics, but lately, with the kick coming along, I've been getting into bicycling. Not just to stay in shape, but also because it's been a chance to build an electric bike. Well, really, I've built like 3 of them by now. But they're a lot of fun. I have a little carriage that they go in and tow behind. One of my bikes is a tandem, so the wife comes with me, too. It's a great time, honestly.
Yeah, I checked into getting an electric bike there a couple of years ago. And there was a company out in California that I kept going through their stuff. I can't remember their name now. But they made 5 different styles of bikes that were lithium battery powered. Had like a 30 to 40 mile range and could do 25 miles an hour. And they had pedal assist if you wanted to do it that way and stay in shape. And they had the big wide tires, and they were like $1,500 or $2,000. It looked real interesting, and I thought, you know, I don't need a license for that. And I could go up to the party store down at the corner, because it's about 3 miles away. And looked at them and thought about it, and I just, my money went in a different direction.
Your name was Dave, right? I want to make sure I got that right. Also, I'm glad you asked, because electric bikes have actually gotten really affordable. If you are, it's because you can't drive, you're disabled. But if you are able to use a 2-wheel bicycle, honestly, the $400 options on Amazon now are really great. Of the, because I've done 2 conversion kits, and I've done, and I have 1 bike that was given to me, and I replaced the battery on it. And that bike from Amazon that I just replaced the battery on, it's great. And it was good for him for a couple of years before he gave it to me too. So I would recommend those. If you need a 3-wheel bike, the ready-made ones can be kind of expensive, but I would recommend getting a front conversion kit for a an already-made tricycle. And that would honestly...
No, if I did it, I would go with a 2-wheel bike. I used to ride motorcycles, so I'm familiar with scooting around the streets and transporting economically. But I live out here on a 2-lane highway, so no matter when I leave the driveway of my home There are people doing 70 miles an hour in an electric bike with no paved shoulder of the road. Staying out of the line of fire so you don't get run over could be difficult. And that's the only reason I didn't do it. I could go up to Myers, which is about 10 miles away, or I could go down to the party store, which is about 3 miles away, and not have to deal with waiting for somebody to come and give me a ride. But I decided to just invest in my property, stay home, and if I need a ride, get a hold of somebody, and in a day or two, I'll get the ride and go where I need to go. Just doing something in a hurry is not any more in my ballpark.
I can understand that. I'm not that old, but I definitely see myself being far more careful than I used to be, planning ahead, that kind of thing. So, you've been a ham for 25 years, you said. Have you thought about or experimented with the really big vans?
The really big what? Say it again, please.
There's like a 200-meter band. There's a really low frequency.
Well, I listen to 160 meters, and it's not very busy. Usually when I switch antennas and tune to 160 meter, there's two or three stations that I can listen to that's lower sideband. And there's several other bands now that we have access to that I don't have capability of receiving. I'm a Kenwood man when it comes to my HF equipment. And on one shelf here, I got my original, my first HF radio I bought, which was a 530 Kenwood. And then a couple of years ago, I bought a 940 Kenwood. It's all solid state. The 530 was a hybrid radio. It had solid state front end and output tubes for the finals. And it didn't have an electronic tuner, so you had to tune it with an antenna tuner by hand. So it was a little more complicated and took a little bit more time, but I'm a knob turner. And I'd like to get a radio that had the digital screen on the front of it, and you could see who was up and down and which way to go. But the radio I'm using now was $5,000 when it was made, and I bought it for $1,000 and it works fine. And every day I'm on it for a couple of hours, and it don't smoke when I turn it on, so my cats sit on it when I got a QSO going, and that's what I'm using. But the bands you were talking about below 160 meter, I don't have access to. I know they're out there and they're not very big, and I don't know if it's all digital or if people are using voice. But I want a QSO. I want a conversation. I don't usually like to do the digital thing, although in the past I did an ATVE.
That radio you have, shouldn't there just be a cable that will connect it to your computer?
No, that would be nice, but not this one. It's about 25 years old, about the same age as the mobile radios I'm talking on right now to you. It's just a different make. And the only real digital radio that I have access with is that Yaesu, that 736 Yaesu. And that's for VHF and UHF. It doesn't do HF. So it just depends on how you use them.
Yeah, your Kenwood should do FTA, and then your Yaesu should do the for you, Jeff Packer.
Right. Well, like I said, I still got the package unit sitting right above these two radios. And it used to be hooked into another computer in the kitchen, but I ran out of room. So the old computer that was running Windows 3.1, I think it was, worked with this packet TNC tied to these VHF and UHF radios when I was running packet. Now they got software and you can use your laptop and things that you don't even have to hook them up. You can actually turn the speaker up and use the microphone on the laptop to hear the signal and decode it through the software. But that's a part of the hobby that I don't have time for and I haven't gotten into. Just like slow scan TV. Why would I send slow scan TV when you can send a JPEG in a second?
It looks to me like there's all kinds of modifications for that specific radio. That radio is a legend. So they absolutely have a 1200 baud PSK modification that would get you one with VHF ringing. And then it looks like there's one for PSK. I think that would get you the D-Star. There's one for 9600 baud. That looks like it would get you on Vara.
Yeah, I got the service manual and the owner's manual and all the information here on a bookshelf. It's just, like I said, when it's... For me, when I read stuff on the laptop, when I'm doing research and looking at stuff, I either have to have the writing on the screen enlarged, I always have to have my glasses on, and when I'm reading stuff like in a magazine or a book, I gotta have a headlamp on my head, you know, like when you're outside doing stuff where you can not hold a flashlight, but you can just turn your head towards the page in a magnifying glass. So I stray away from things that are excessively difficult. And reading and doing stuff like that and FTA and doing packet is a part of a hobby that if I had good vision, I would pursue. But I do not have good vision. It's all I can do to see. And it's not going to be beneficial to my lifestyle.
I don't mean to badger you. Thank you for filling me in on what you do know. I appreciate that a lot. KDACUW.
Yeah, no problem, Ben. Like I said, I was watching the football games, and I sat down here in front of the radio, and I turned them up a little bit. I got a trunk and scanner sitting on the shelf here, too, with a outside antenna with an amplifier built in. So I monitor the police and the ambulance and consumers' power, and I live by Hemlock Semiconductor, and occasionally an alarm goes off there for something that is happening. And I prefer to hear it and know what's going on before it gets on the news and make adjustments accordingly. And nothing's really ever happened at Hemlock Semiconductor where you needed to head for shelter, but they do some strange things over there, and my neighbor next door, not the long-haired one, but my buddy that comes over and makes sure I have enough beer, he works over there, and he's a manager, and they make polycrystalline cells for making processors and software and solar cells, and they sell the ingots. He says they're like 2 feet long and 6 inches in diameter, and then they cut them into thicknesses for them to use, and they ship them. They either sell the ingots whole and people buy them, or companies buy them and cut them, or they will slice them for you if you want to pay the fee. So some of them get for solar panels, and the other ones get made into semiconductors. And they work his ass into the dirt, 70 hours a week, and he's on call. And I tried to tell him he was married to his job, but I haven't quite got him convinced.
Well, that's good stuff. Now, I need to get to work on some actual work here. So I hope to talk to you again soon. I hope I catch you around. This is Ben, KTAZUW, 73 days.
All right, Ben. Well, it was good to meet you. And like I said, I had the 440 radio on, and it's always set to this frequency. There's several other frequencies that it's in the memory, but I usually leave it on this one that seems to be the most active. So enjoy your evening, and I'll catch you down when I talk to you. KEHZUW 73 N8 TVE.
Stand by, my R's in PCS might be set wrong. Radio check. Anybody transmitting? Test. Radio check. Radio check. On the off chance the Morse code I've been hearing is somebody, I'm looking to take my test to obtain a license in person, and there hasn't been much online other than your guys' group doing so. So if anybody can respond, I'd be awesome. Say again. Radio testing 1-2. Radio testing 1-2. Testing 1-2. Test. Check 1-2. Radio check. Testing 1-2. listening. Radio test.
Good Monday morning, W8RCY, raise a hand.
Good morning to you, Don, and how are you enjoying this beautiful Monday morning?
Well, considering Thursday morning I'll be down in Daytona Beach, I'm not complaining, but, you know, it's like the countdown is on. I gotta start packing and getting stuff together because I fly out Wednesday night. Come home, be home Monday, Tuesday, and then fly back out Wednesday night. I could have stayed down there, but nah, I got stuff to do around here. And Joe will miss me, and Murphy will miss me. And, yeah, I won't be at breakfast for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we got a lock that's malfunctioning on our chapel at church, so I get the duty of locking it up at night and before I go to work in the morning, unlocking it. So that's what I'm on my way to do. At least until the repair guys get there.
So is this looking like a major repair or a replacement or just a quick fix once, you know, the professionals get out there and tinker with it?
Well, even if you have to do a replacement, it's nothing major. But, yeah, it's just a keypad and one of those latch that unlocks the door for us with the code, and it works, but you got to slam the door 5 times to get it to lock.
I'm hearing like an echo or something. Is there another radio on in the background that I'm hearing?
Yeah, there was. I didn't think it would work. I thought it was on a different frequency. But, yeah, that's what I get from thinking, right?
Yeah, thinking on a morning, and if you don't have coffee in you or anything like that, that's not a smart thing to do. But, I got to remind Sean before I leave on Wednesday that I'm not going to be there for 2 weeks. I think when he dropped me off on Saturday, I said to him, I'll see you next week, and I'm thinking, don't! You know, but, you know, you're into a routine and stuff like that, and you know, you realize, oh, yeah, plus I got to do some laundry before I leave. So that's what I'm going to be doing packing and doing normal laundry. So that's what my day consists of. Plus a chiropractor. No, I don't see a chiropractor this week. I saw him Thursday because I missed Monday last week, a week ago, and so I made up for it on Thursday. And then I don't have to see him now until the 20th, that Monday, so a week from today. So I'll see him on the 20th when I come back.
So I wished I had remote control capabilities on this lock, but I don't. And, it's just, I got to get up at 6, and I usually get up at 6 and relax for a few before I go to work. Now I got to drive out here. Hopefully, because my brother-in-law is sick, he still calls the lock company to have him come out, take a look at it. If not, well, it'll be a couple days. It's a small price to pay, I guess.
Yeah, that's the no fun part. When I was working for Verizon, I wasn't always on call, but I lived the closest to the store there in St. Clair Stores when the store was at 10 and a half in Harbor. And I was in the area of Martin Road in Harbor, so about a mile away. But, whoever the manager on duty was on call for overnight alarms and stuff like that, I just said, I'll handle it. Just, call me. I can get there the quickest. And that's basically what I did all the time. I know what it's like, and been there, done that.
That's one of the benefits of having keys to the building. Oh, well, move on. Anyways, I hope you enjoy yourself while you're in Florida, and at least have weather enough to enjoy yourself while you're in Florida.
No, little Donnie goes down there and he works. He doesn't really have a chance to do much. And I don't drink at all on a race weekend, so I don't even have a cocktail after the day's over. Like I say, it's a very responsible thing that I do, and I got to be clear-headed. And I've been so dedicated for as many years as I have, and it's just, priority one is the safety, and that's for anybody and everybody on the track. So I have to be level-headed, let alone do my job in race operations or race control. So, it's all work. And then at the end of the day, you got to file a report, get up in the morning, be on the track at 6 o'clock and do it all over again. But, I only work the endurance races now. 7 events I'm doing this year, and then I'm going to be officially retired in October. No more.
Well, if it's warm and sunny, I would enjoy that over what we have now. And, I could get into just enjoying watching what's going on around the track. But, to each their own.
Well, it's 24 hours straight of controlled chaos to a certain extent. I think it was 2019. We had January 2019, I think is when we had the big flood at Daytona. And the race was called after about 18 hours. And I don't even think it was that many, 18 hours it was called. The lower parts of the track and the infield were just flooded, and we couldn't continue. But we raced in the rain. We raced in all kinds of conditions, obviously no snow. Like I said, it's controlled chaos. And I do get breaks, and I can grab a nap if I need to and stuff like that. These big endurance races, it's all hands on deck. All officials that we can bring in, we bring in. And I'm doing those this year because I think it's a 15 race schedule. So, the Detroit race is only, about 100 minutes versus 24 hours. But I don't have to work it, so I go down there. I can go down to Detroit and have fun. That's the most important thing.
I've often said I enjoy the job that I do, but having a job that took me to different parts of the country, I think I'd enjoy that. But, you know, that's me. I'm ready to spread my wings, and I gotta wait a little bit longer before I can retire.
Yeah, but like I said, though, these are working vacations. And when I was working for Verizon, there were times where I'd go to a West Coast race, and race ends up around maybe 5, 6 o'clock California time. So it's already, you know, 8, 9 o'clock here. Get on a plane, fly home, step off the plane, and go straight to work at Verizon. And I'd still be in my work shirt from racing. You know, we have sponsors and all that stuff on our work shirts. And the boss just looks at me and goes, "You got the wrong shirt on." I said, "Just give me 5 minutes. I'll change. We're going to go." And he looks at me and goes, "You didn't get home?" I said, "No, I just stepped off the plane about an hour and a half ago." "You'll be okay?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I got this. You know, just put an IV of coffee in me and I'll be fine." And I'd work the day.
KFHPWF for identification. Yeah, I used to do that kind of stuff when I was young, too. Now I'm just ready for, I guess what I would like to do is travel and play some golf courses in some of these different states. But that's the old me talking. The younger me would have loved to have been hanging around a racetrack. And yeah, there was nights. I didn't sleep much before I had to go back to work on the weekends because we do a road trip here and there, but oh well. It was nice when I was young, now I'm old.
Well, with all the health issues I've had, W8RCY for identification, with all the health issues I've had in the last 5-6 years, it was hard for me to do, 5 years, 2019 is when I was hit with COVID. But, and then my mobility issues, too, are piling up. But I wasn't going to do it unless I got a clean bill of health to do it, especially with the ticker in the lungs. And the doctor says, so what you normally do is just pace yourself. And I was checked out by the doctors, by IMSA, and they gave me the okay to do it. And guys in race control and race operations are giving me the grandpa chair this year so I can just not have to move around the track so much, and I'll be taken care of. But I just didn't want to go out the way I went with illnesses and disabilities. I just wanted to try to get one more season in, and I was able to do it. I lost enough weight, and the ticker is stabilized, so it's all good. Oh, yeah, he's going to do one more year and be done, and, I'll just see everybody when they come to Detroit every year afterwards.
That's always good. You get to go back and do it and leave on your terms. But, COVID kind of screwed things up for a lot of people, I know. My daughter graduated during COVID, so she didn't have commencements, and she started college. And that didn't quite click with her because she's not disciplined enough to sit down to the computer and do what she had to do without having to get up and go to class. So, in each and everybody's way, COVID really screwed a lot of lives up. But good, you get to go back and enjoy one more season.
Yeah, it does feel good to be able to go out on my terms. And I still got to do, 7 events total. So, I got to make it through at least till June in the heat. We have a race 2 weeks after Detroit up in Road America, and it's a 4-mile track on a hilly terrain, and I don't have to really work that one because it's not an endurance race. It's only about a 2-hour, 45-minute long race compared to the big ones. But, again, as big as that track is, you need all hands on deck to cover all the territory, so... we'll see if I'm going to do that one or not. So I might just do that one as well, but I haven't made a decision. But yeah, every year to come back, as long as they're racing here in Detroit, both the IndyCar Series and the IMSA Series, I get to see friends and family and what I consider my racing family.
and close friends and co-workers and associates. So that'll be my reunion every year in June.
Oh, good for you. Anyways, I'm pulling up at work. Got to navigate the turnstiles and stuff. So I will let you go. I will talk to you later. KF8, CWF, clear on your final, 73.
All right, have a good day. Have a good week. You take care. Don't get caught in a turnstile on a Monday morning. That would be quite embarrassing. W8RCY, we're clear. W8FU. Good morning from WARCY. Just waving a hand. At this time, I get stuff going here because I'm leaving Wednesday. Busy day, so on and so forth. So I just thought I'd say hello real quick before I get going here. Okie dokie. I got a I got a different node set up for your location with an external antenna. So one of these days we have to do the handoff on that. Other than that, it's a uneventful weekend. Well, my football team won, and then there wasn't a whole bunch else. Played around a bit on the radio, and guys, we all got together and got on HF. That was kind of fun. Oh, what's this going on, for Christ's sakes? Somebody stalled right in front of me. Great. No emergency flashers.
Yeah, sometimes those emergency flashers, you can't find them half the time. I remember when they first came out, they were right on the steering column. But now with all the wiring going through the steering column, because of all the controls on the steering column, they put him somewhere on the dash. You got to look for that little red triangle. So he's probably sitting there trying to pull out his owner's manual to find out where the emergency flasher switch is. Okay, as far as getting me that box, we can do it tonight, tomorrow night. I leave Wednesday. I won't be back until Monday, so we can do it this Monday, Tuesday, or next Monday and Tuesday. Because, I'm gone until the 27th. I should be back, and then things will get back to normal. And with that, of course, I won't be at breakfast until the 1st. So don't come out on Saturday, because you're just going to go around in circles in the loop.
Roger. Well, I'll see how things go. Maybe today on the way home from work, I'll swing by. And, it's real easy to get you connected up to it. In fact, you just turn on the app and you go to the screen where you pick the unit. You just pick the new unit. And it's all exactly the same. But, all right. I will see how this today goes and give you a call if I've got 2 minutes to swing by. I'm sure I will.
Okie dokie. Just give me a call when you're on the way, and that will be good to go. Are we going to go through the door wall with this, or are we going to go through the bedroom window?
You can do whatever you want. I was just thinking you'd put it right in the windowsill, just like you did the other one. Except for now you got a long cord, and all you got to put is the antenna. I'm going to put it on a little piece of bracket. That will give it some ballast, the mag mount, and unless you magnet it to something, it doesn't like to stand up. The base is of the size of a quarter, so I'll probably speak of the sun. And how tall is that ledge you said you wanted to get over? Because maybe I'll make the ballast for the antenna, or I'll look for something that tall.
Well, we'll just take a look at it when you come out here, and we'll make a judgment on it for that and go from there. Today or tomorrow, or today or Monday and Tuesday of next week, I can make work.
Yeah, like I said, I'm leaning towards today, so I'd rather not be there. I'd rather get this one percolating as soon as possible. So if that's an issue, let me know. The reason I asked the sill size is because I'm going to be digging around for something today in the shop, you know, bring it. So defeats the purpose if I come out first. Yeah, and a guess. Guess is fine.
So you're saying the window sill of, like, my bedroom window, the actual sill, or the ledge on the inside?
But you told me that you propped the unit on something to get it over the window sill. And I'm just wondering how high that item is.
Well, I put it up that high so the antenna would clear and just be exposed to glass and not the window frame. But I'll get that measurement and I'll send you a text on it.
Yeah, this really isn't rocket science. It doesn't, it's not even got to be. It's just ballpark, you know, a couple of inches, you know. I'm probably just going to grab whatever I can find and it'll be what it is. Because I want it on metal. So that it gives the antenna some ballast. So I got a piece of bracket, I think, you know, probably adequate. All right, whatever. I'll get what I get. It'll work as it works.
Stand by.
All right, you really don't have to do it now. Just before I get there, the text was fine.
Good morning.
Good morning. 3.5 inches high.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'll try to find something appropriate. Like I said, we want metallic. Anyhow, Dakota, go ahead.
Is this a new and improved node?
Actually, he's got one of the T-beams that I got from John up there. I'm going to switch him to a Peltec V3 and an external antenna. And that's pretty much that one. That's the MAD one. So, yeah, I guess new nodes that's been around a while. Really, it's the antenna more than anything. I could just swap the antenna out, call it a day, but.
Good morning, Donald.
Hello. I'm just fumbling around here. I drink coffee. It's a couple days. I had before. I'm out of town for a few days. But, yeah, good morning.
So last night I heard you pretty well. That was pretty good. What kind of antenna did you get up, Dakota?
I wish I understood the radiation a little bit better. That's just Nelson NFED, so it's 8 to 10, and I think it'll tune 6. So 130-foot wire.
And how high up did you manage to get it?
Not as high as I would like. It's only up about 30 feet. At the highest point, and then it starts at about, I don't know, 10-ish feet.
All right, well, considering how compromised that antenna system is, it was working pretty good for you down this way. That's a pretty good haul, and I heard you pretty good. I mean, I'm guessing it was just 100 watts, too. So, yeah, not bad at all. Greg had an NFET as well, and he was booming, man. He was really, really getting it done. I was really amazed at how well Greg's setup was working. So, anyhow, I was just curious. Sounded good.
So far, I've not had any complaints or issues with that antenna. I haven't ran that radio over 50 watts yet, and it's been working. I don't know how much I would gain by getting it up higher. I've been racking my brain. I can get it up higher on the house. The feed point's going to stay where it is, but I can anchor it higher up on the house. But I don't really have anywhere to get it to slope higher. But from what I've been reading online, you know, with the internet, everything's right. They say horizontal and as high as you can.
Well, horizontal is challenging because now you got to have two high supports, you know. Now, if you got a lot of trees, you know, you can generally find a couple of trees to sling it through. But for a lot of people, horizontal becomes difficult. That's why I kind of like the inverted B. I've always ran inverted Bs, even though I've had trees to deal, you know, to deal with most of my stuff. The inverted V needs one support in the center, and you know, and then you put that, you know, if you go out and get yourself, like Roan sells these masts, they're like 40 feet push-up masts, and they'll bolt to the side of the house, you know, with just a standard mast bracket, and that'll give you 40 foot right at the house where the feed point is. And oh, let's see here, I'm doing 55. Holy sheep. Man, got road rage going on here. Anyhow, you get one of them 40-foot Roan masts and get your feed point up 40 foot right there at the house. Bring the coax straight down in.
Once my yard's done, I'm going to figure something out, though. I don't like how I have it set up currently. If I look out my back door wall, I can see the wire, like, eye level. So I need to get that up higher or on the other side of the house, but I kept the feed as short as I could. So we'll see. I've been thinking about that, too, as I see them on Facebook Marketplace all the time, old towers or masts, and talk my wife into sticking one of those in the back corner of the lot.
When you start going back corner of the lot, you got to consider, you know, you got to take into account all the feed lines. It's going to be expensive and, you know, and won't be bad on HF, but you start going over a few hundred feet and losses become a thing.
I'm not even saying to put an antenna, like a feed on it. I'm saying to just use it as something that I can get the wire, you know, sloped up to. My old house, I took it for granted. I had a couple 90, 100-foot trees, and those were working great. But like I said, I have not noticed the difference in performance from my last Nelson, which was sloping up way higher, and this Nelson, which is not sloping up that high.
I gotcha. All right, anyhow, enough on all that. Donald, go ahead and make one. Sorry about that. Just going back and forth on a thing we were...
No, I really don't have much to add or much to say. Yeah, I'm just fumbling around right now trying to figure out some stuff here. I got to get a little laundry done, too, before I leave. So I'll be doing that today. A little bit of stuff right now. Got most of it figured out, but, yeah. So I'll let you guys go at it, and I'll just be sitting here monitoring.
Okie doke. So, yeah, get ready for your trip. Probably the winner. Yeah, Dakota, I think, like I was saying, I'm a big fan of resonant wire. I've tried all the multiband antennas, and they work, you know, some better than others. But all the same rules always apply. You know, you get it up as high as you can, get it fanned out, you know, pretty good. You know, not too crazy. But like Larry was saying, you can twist and turn the ends, you know, and stuff like that. But you're not going to have that problem at all. Yours is more just, you need a support. I'll tell you, if all you're looking to do is find a support for wire, you know, keep an eye peeled for these, you know, TV towers. You know, people have 40 foot of this light duty TV tower, and you can just bury some of that out in the less conspicuous spot and give you some, I'm thinking about doing that. I want to put a loop up, you know, it's the ultimate antenna, and I'd like to have four mounting points at least 40 foot in the air, so I've got trees and stuff like that and a house to deal with, so I was thinking about, you know, strategically placing some of this cheap TV-type tower or something. I'd love to have telephone poles. And I'll tell you, if I could find somebody that could supply and plant telephone poles that leaves at least 40 foot sticking out the top, chewy. Put a pulley up on top, rope, oh yeah.
I'm in the hot seat with radio right now because when I was adjusting my antenna yesterday, I lost my gold wedding band in the yard. So I gotta find that, but that's what I've been looking at. I know a couple people that have 100-foot, I think they're 100-foot masts that they don't use. Like, I'll sell it. I don't want it. So I would like to sink one of those kind of in the tree line, like you said, a little inconspicuous, and then I can put a pulley on top of that and, you know, raise and lower whatever different wire I want.
Yep, that'll help. Hey, if you want, I've got a really, really good metal detector, so probably make it differentiates between types of metal. You can set it specifically for gold, being on the surface or just under a little snow. It'll be mincemeat for it. Do you want to borrow it?
I would actually love to borrow that. My buddy's got one, but it was like a $68 Amazon one, and every time we've tried to use it, it's like, I think we're better off crawling around on our hands and knees. So, but I raked, I know exactly where it was. It's in the tree line. If you look at that flashlight video I posted where those trees are, that's where my antenna ties off at the base of those trees, and I think when I was pulling the rope to pull it tight and it was cold out, it just popped off. So, I went in there and I raked piles of all the brush, so it shouldn't be that hard to find. My only concern is I was pulling some branches too, so if I was pulling on those and it got stuck under my ring and it popped off, who knows where it went.
All right, I got it at home. I'll make sure it's charged up tonight and bring it with me to work tomorrow. If you just let me know what time you're going to lunch and where, and I'll coordinate with you for a handoff.
No, don't worry about it. If you're kind enough to let me borrow it, I'll come pick the thing up from you.
Well, I can pass by you on the way into work, and I got to go to lunch just like you, so it's not a big deal. But all right, anyhow, we'll figure it out. I'll get the thing all charged up and bring it with me tomorrow.
Good deal. Well, I appreciate it. We'll coordinate a time to meet, or like you said, maybe I can just meet you on Hall Road somewhere or at my office or whatever's easy. So. But I'm here. I'm going to get inside. It's freaking Monday. So have a good day. Appreciate you, and I'll talk to you maybe on my ride home. Today's an early day. NADBF, I'll be clear of yours.
Roger. All right. Catch you later. Have fun at work. Man, I love Monday. It's just my favorite day of the week. Keep telling myself that. W8FU.
K-8, are you awake? Did everybody oversleep, or did I get in the group that late? Everybody's already at work.
Keep on sec, Anthony. I got the window drive-through. Good morning, Anthony. W8FU. Late start today.
Yes, I was lollygagging a little bit too much, and here we are, which won't be tragic. I'll still be quote-unquote on time, but just not the normal time that I get there.
Right. Yeah, it took me a long time to realize that. You're still a relatively young man, and I wish I would have learned that at your age. Being early is rewarding, especially good when you're running late. You don't get that terrible
terrible rush that just kind of sets the whole day up in motion poorly. I do the same thing now. I get there plenty early, and if I'm late, it's like whatever, no big deal on any given day.
Yeah, I actually, if my start time could be an hour earlier, it would make me happy. I'd love to be there, you know, when nobody else is there to get a bunch of stuff done, and then leave early while everybody else is still getting their stuff done for the day. But I got a little bit of control, but not as much as I'd like, which I totally understand. But yeah, it's, if I could start at 7 and leave at 3:30 every day, it'd be my sweet spot, that's for sure.
Yeah, see, we only work 37 and a half hour weeks, 7.5 hours a day. So we come in at 7:30, we get off at 3:30. And that's why I always get in at 7:30, and I get off at 3:30. And, we're pretty flexible, you know, you get your time in. You can start at 8, too, we have an 8 o'clock start, so. But, I come in for the 7:30, and if I'm late, I just do the 8 to 4 shift. It doesn't really matter, you know. And, 90% of the time I do the 7:30 to 3:30 shift. Anywho, having said that, I'm pulling in the driveway here. The next show, I'll probably have time for one more go around of these.
When I was young, I worked for the City of Mount Clemens, the DPW, and we worked the 37 and a half hours, and man, was that awesome. It was 7 to 3, 5 days a week, and it was a great schedule. Now, as a young man, that left a whole lot of time to get yourself in trouble, but it was awesome. I loved that schedule.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have the extra half-hour pay, you know, but chances, you know, if we were 40 hours, they'd probably pay us the same amount. So, actually, we'd get less money, at least if you're calculating it hourly. But I'd love to work the extra 2.5 hours and get the money for it. So, but that ain't ever going to happen. I don't know if there's any 40-hour jobs in our organization. We've got several, you know, a couple thousand employees. Well, more than 1,000. I don't know if we broke 2,000, but, and I don't know if any of them are 40 hours. Maybe. Not us, though. But, and the other thing, too, is I kind of set the rules, so kind of hard for me to be late. I determine the shifts and everything, so. It's an example thing. You can't be a bad example and expect others to, you know, march to a drum if you're not. Anywho, I am pulling up and getting ready to park in my spot. How long you got to go?
I got 20 minutes. I just made the turn onto 696. So I will be in the car for a little bit longer, but I will let you go so you can get your day rolling. It was good talking to you this morning. K-E-8-R-U-8.
All right, Anthony, we'll catch you later. Get inside. W-8 of you.
What's shaking, Mr. Don?
Hey, good morning. Hope you're working from home today. Although, I
out here on the roads, they're plenty cleared and smooth at this time anyway. No, I was just heading to my sister's house this morning to help her out for a couple hours and then into the office.
Well, no, I am not working from home. I am working from the office. But it's not too bad. Roads were not bad. Just some Monday. So Stephen must have got I don't normally say Steve. Steve must have got to sleep pretty early last night. I don't blame him. Do you know what time he gets settled in?
No, as a matter of fact, I don't, although I think they like to do those procedures early if they can. Is there another station trying to break in? This is KATB.
I don't think so. I think there's somebody's got a note. I'm going to dial up the dashboard right now and see if I can make sense of it all. But I think somebody's just got some sort of weird crossband or repeat or something going on.
Ah, okay. Well, I don't know if I mentioned, because I'm still on my ST8 myopia. I worked at Delaware Station Saturday morning for number 50. So I uploaded it, and then yesterday I sent out a quick email and just said, hey, thanks for the QSO, you're my last one. See if he uploads his log, and I'll take a break for a bit. And somebody else came in. Somebody else uploaded something, so I had number 50 for FT8 and DXCC on 30 meters, so, which is fine. I'm going to plateau there for a while. But, you know, it was an interesting exercise. See if I finish it, or if I have to get on and find another Delaware to insure the QSL.
Doing a CQDE kind of thing? CQDEDEKBB?
Yeah, your audio's really, really light. I have the volume control up all the way on the radio here in the car, and not quite making out, but that last transmission was especially quiet.
All right, I might have been talking away from the microphone, and I am talking quiet because I'm in the office. Is this any better?
Yeah, there's a little proximity percussiveness, but the level's right.
Right. I don't know how well this radio punches, so it's just a cheap little $10 radio, a little red of this.
Well, no, you're perfectly capable that time. So what was the what's the other question or comment? Sorry.
Before I answer, how's this? Is this any better?
It's about the same, as in good the same, or at least okay the same.
All right, I switched over to the UMP direct, so no more nodes or anything like that. Yeah, I said, did you work them by calling specifically, you know, CQDEDEKBB?
No, actually, I didn't. I was on dialing around with a cup of coffee Saturday morning and dialing around, you know, observing, and I saw a strong CQ come through with the right grid. It was AA1K. He's a well-known DXer contester. He's also a tower climbing professional. But he was calling CQ from, I think it was FM29. So I worked them and logged them. And so that was cool. So no, I never had any calls. When I called, you know, CQ Delaware, and I didn't put in CQDE because it was, I didn't think that was really intuitive, although I guess it really wouldn't have mattered. But when I put in CQ Delaware, I called for many sequences a couple of different nights and I just got nothing. So I don't know if it was too long, that it was just not getting decoded in the transmission, or just everyone said, no, I'm not in Delaware. I've answered a few CQTXs that were not DX, but I needed the state. And they were gracious and worked me.
There you go. Now you got to, all the awards that you've already got are all available on that mode, so it's a whole new thing. Go get them.
Yeah, I'm not interested in chasing, 6 meters WAS, FT8, left-hand polarity. No. I think I've reached a plateau. Until I get motivated for DXCC, but they got halfway there, so. It's interesting. It's kind of boring, actually, just watching them, especially if you're looking for something particular. If I just send CQ, I just work a gazillion guys, that's actually something. And, along the way, like, okay, well, I'll fill in some states, or maybe some people will call me from other countries, and they'll fill in stuff. And there's some of that that's actually a bit more interesting than just sitting there waiting for someone to come up in the right spot.
Well, I know it's kind of sacrilege, but if you run that Z version of the program, you can actually tell it, you have to set up filters and stuff, so there is some interaction, but you can tell it, anything you've got worked and confirmed, you can exclude, and you can have it look for anything new, in a particular way or something like that. You can look for specific things, and it'll just sit there listening. And if something pops up, it'll pounce. So, bye now.
Yeah, I may dink around with that. The grid tracker has a filter way that you can, and it's obviously not going to jump in and pick USO for you, but it will, give you an alert. You can put in filters for not this or yes this, and I have not worked on that at all. I've not set any of that stuff up yet. Still too new. Yeah, maybe I'll dink around with the Z, just only have it on if I'm, down there at the desk. Have one radio on that and dial around DXing on the other radio. What a time to be alive.
It would be cool if we had all this tech back when, back in the late 80s, early 90s. So if we had all this tech, then it would probably not be, it would be nice if we had the ham radio culture we had back then. 80s and 90s with the technology we have today, but they're joined at the hip. With the technology comes the destruction of the community that we once had. It's just part and parcel. You can't have one or the other. You can't have both. And one actually takes from the other. But yeah, you're right. It's amazing what we get now. I mean, I just look at some of the test equipment and tech and radios and stuff like that, it just blows my mind what we can do now. That, when I first started out in this hobby, if you wanted really good test equipment for your shack, you were talking about, really expensive proposition. Some of the gear is still really expensive, but there is a lot of really, really good equipment for them, very, 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 reasonable prices. And, the average ham can outfit himself with just everything from antenna analyzers and solder stations and commercial comm monitors and stuff like that. And, it's amazing. Not to mention just the tools of the trade, And you're right. It really is a wonderful time to be in this hobby. Just unfortunately, the technology is in a way diminished a bit.
Yeah, you're getting a little light again, but I was able to get all that. The community is, back in the late 80s, and even prior to that, it was, you had to have the community, because that's how you found out where the DX was. it was Walt or Gordy, getting on the repeater, getting on 2-6, or getting on 505 and saying, hey, there's UA9 on 14025, and he's got a good signal, And
That was, that's obviously not, that's not a thing anymore, but that was kind of what contributed to that, culture of the time. The good old days. Get off my lawn. T-A-B-B.
Oh, yeah. No, it's no doubt. That's, they're tied together, you know, and, but we're lucky, you know, because we knew what it was. We knew how wonderful and glorious it was, and you know, and then we get to enjoy all this new stuff. We lament a little bit about you know, it not having what it did, but you know, it's there. It's there. It's just different. This group of guys I've been chilling with, talking with, they're all really active stuff. It's different than the stuff we were doing by virtue of the technology, right? You know, the technology has given them a whole bunch of other avenues. But they're very getting things done, and they're working towards awards and all that stuff. And very active on HF, the whole nine yards. So it's there. It's just different, right? So, and it's we do this a lot. It's diffused. You know, now everything is kind of like you know, it's in the past. You know, y'all had to go to the local repeater. You know, for your community stuff, and one of a few. There's, you know, half a dozen, and they had personality. Nowadays, those are, you know, there's so many other things with Discord and, you know, and Slack and all these other various ways, and Cisco phones, you know, so there's so many other ways to, you know, to keep your group together, and it diminishes the, you know, the one hitching post aspect of it. But, either way, you know, I remember how it was, and I see everything we can do now, and I just am overjoyed by where we're at. So I wish others, newcomers, could see that, you know, and we try, you know, most of them can, but that is easy, man. You got to find that right person nowadays.
Yeah, I agree completely, and I was. Hold on, I'm trying to navigate this merge ramp. Yeah, I think the awesomeness of the current and new technology is, you know, that perspective of what, you know, you and, you know, and a little bit me and others, you know, kind of understood what things were like prior to that. And, you know, I think somebody getting in new is like, oh, okay, it's easy to take it for granted. It's also easy to discover the, you know, the impersonalness of some of the digital stuff, and for someone to go the other direction and say, oh, hey, yeah, you know, I learned CW, and I, you know, get on, you know, I get on 40 meters and 80 meters at night, and, you know, and tap along at 15 words a minute, and, you know, make contacts, and, you know, found a round table of guys on 40 meters that I check in with, you know, for coffee in the morning, and, you know, what's old is new again, I suppose. But anyway, I am thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing, except for the fact that my 6-meter antenna is down, and this weekend is the 6-meter January VHF contest, and I've done well in the past on that, and I was waiting for a break in the weather, and when we had one weeks ago, I did not capitalize on it, and I did not get my 6-meter antenna back up, so it is still on sawhorses behind the garage, now covered in snow. And I may have to adjust my plans.
Sorry, you have to deal with something there for a sec. Anywho, what's your plans for today? You going into the office, I assume, after Sisters?
That is the plan. It may be adjusted a little bit, but I go to the office for a bit. Or possibly at home and work. I had an appointment but near the office today, early afternoon, that last night got adjusted to later in the week. So I freed that up a little bit, so I'm trying to figure it out. But yeah, probably office.
Well, there you go. There you go. How have things been lately? Still a hot market, or things cooled off at all?
It remains an imbalanced market, a little balanced in favor of sellers. Buyer situation is still pretty competitive. Things were, relatively speaking, kind of quiet, kind of cool this past quarter, and I think it's kind of a, every 4 years, you know, big election cycle, there's usually a little dip in activity. People sit on their hands waiting for something to happen, and regardless of what happens, they get on with their lives afterwards. So that's the chapter we're in right now. So, yeah, it's picking back up. The numbers are saying that rates are going to be fairly flat, maybe go down a little, and inventory is going to continue to go up slightly. So it's just the attenuation of the buyer power is related to the rates being up over a couple of years ago. But yeah, in answer to your question, it's getting busy again, as it should be.
Well, that's good. Keeps the bread on the table, right?
Yeah, I've always used the wine in my glass and bread on my table analogy, but no wine in my glass this month, so yes, bread on the table. Except I'm not supposed to eat bread, really. I've also not been very conscientious about watching what I eat. It's been a rich, fulfilling culinary holiday. It's time to get kind of tighten the belt, so to speak.
Yeah, did you see that post regarding the dry January? That meme I sent.
Yes, and I kind of relate to it to a certain extent. The idea of, oh yeah, boy, I slept at night great and it was good because when I was awake it was terrible. I have no problem with it being awake. I lament to make light of not having anything, but it's fine. Which is good because I was actually a little worried. The whole point of doing it is to make sure that it's not like, you're not under the table shaking with DTs or something. And I'm like, all right, well, you can just completely go off the sauce for a month and it's sitting right there. You know, it's not like it's locked up in a safe. It's like it's right there. So, like, no temptation. So, anyway, not trying to pat myself on the back. But yeah, that was funny. When did you pour that? 30 days ago. Yeah, all right, I'll take it.
Yeah, I saw that in the media. It's a lot of key guys. So that'll be you on February 1. But no, I get it. It's I go such long periods and I don't even give it a second thought. And then then I might get in a little spring where I'm doing it every day. And but for me, it's just I've just never had any significant consumption where I would ever feel the need to do that. Hell, I've had months, in any given year, a month will go by and I probably haven't had any, just not because I was trying, just didn't happen.
Well, we had been like that way too, and then, when you're stuck at home for COVID lockdowns and then, culturally we shifted to at-home social experience for many, many, many months after that, and we've just kind of been stuck in that, and it's right there, it's, you're on the bourbon blog, and you're on the wine gallery discussion forum, and the creative cocktail, round table, put all that stuff together, and it sits right in your consciousness, so... With that in mind, you gotta back off once in a while. If it wasn't all sitting there every day, it would be a lot easier to ignore. Anyway, I'm about at my sister's. I'm waiting for the light on 10 Mile to change, and I'm going to pull up and head in and help her out for a few hours, and then I'll probably be back on the air 11-ish? I don't know, something. But, I'll catch you then.
Alrighty,
yeah, I got to get back to work anyhow, so, but, we haven't connected on the air too frequently, so I figured I'd take the time. All right. Have fun, and, be safe. We'll catch you a little later. WAFU.
Ta-ta for now. K8BB.
What are you doing up there?
Oh, visiting customers, sir. As I say, shaking hands, kissing babies. And now I'm heading back to the office. I gotta drop a package off to Sean, and then back to work. Back to the grindstone. What about you?
Heading up to my first run of the day. I'm supposed to meet the project manager, and he's like, oh, I forgot to put it on my calendar. I'm like, you really need to be there? He's like, no, not really, but put it up. I'll call you when I'm done, kind of thing.
Oh, very good. Where are you at right now? What's your 20?
M59 and Crooks, roughly. Well, they're nice. I'm coming up on the Crooks exit. I gotta go up to Innovation Drive.
Oh, very good. We have a client on Innovation Drive, Mahendra. I think that's where they're at.
There's only one building on Innovation. It used to be called Takata Drive, over there by the that brewery.
Oh, okay. No, that's a little farther.
Yeah, I got a door controller that I got to put online and then see if we can convert the card readers out or not. The ones that are there are standard card readers, but they might have to special order some. But I need to go find out if we need to do that or not.
Very good. How'd your weekend go? Did you get a chance to fire up the snowblower? I did. It was actually kind of fun. I had to cheat and use ether to start it up, though.
Want the Motorola? Sitting here in my passenger seat.
No. Snowblower. I'm sorry.
No. Friday, the snow was blank, so I just shoveled all around as much as I could. Of course, it irritated my back and my shoulder. And then, my neighbor, shoveled the front walk and up to my porch. Yesterday. So I don't have a snowblower. I got a gravel driveway, so it's kind of hard to use that.
Yeah, I got an old Toro. Two-stroker. Ram, 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 ram. Makes that kind of noise when it runs, but actually does a pretty good job. So, just hard to get started the first time in the year, but I figured I'll do that. Good old starting fluid.
Yeah, I had one of those in my old house. It's really nice where I had a real driveway. Now it's just shovel.
Let's see. It's a 237. I want to make sure I get the right exit here. Oh, very good. Okay. Other than that, not too much going on. So I heard you there on the phone. so I wasn't ignoring you. I figured they'd throw my call out after I get off the phone.
I just throw my call out on the radio when I get in the van and start it up, you know. Just throw it out there. You know, just so we can do this, you know, just like you can. On our way to our next location.
You're very good. All right, sir. I'm going to let you go. I'm getting off the exit here, so you drive safe and you're getting near the end of your rope. So you have a good day. Stay out of trouble. Keep warm. Supposed to get on and off snow today, but nothing significant. So all is good considering we're in the middle of January already.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm just about coming up here on off dike. So have yourself a good day. Drive safe. Stay warm.
My final short and sweet, N-A-K-P-P.
Hello, CQ. This is Whiskey 8 Victor India Juliet, Echo Link Mobile, calling CQ and by for any calls.
W8FUN8KPP.
KESKW radio check?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm just checking with my handheld because I'm, although I'm on it, pointing at it with the Yagi, I'm where John R. ends at Boomer Park. Yes, this is a check.
There's some noise they can make you out, and you probably could talk a little bit louder, and then we'd be, probably be better off.
Okay, I always can be louder, 73.
Very good, I didn't catch the call sign. This is N8KPP.
This is Kilo Echo 8, Sierra.
Very good. And that was a little worse for signal there, so you're going to need a little bit more horsepower if you want to carry on with you. So have a good day. Keep warm. Stay out of the snow and all that other cliche advice. N8KPP, looking for W8FQ. You're around, Sean?
WAFU. WARCY from WAFU. W8RCY is here. Go ahead.
I am rolling probably about 20 minutes out or so, if it's convenient.
Yes, sir. Not a problem.
Okay. I'll hit the magic buttons when I get there.
Okie dokie. See you in a little bit. Take your time. Be safe. W8RCY.
All righty. W8FU.
Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Where are we going?
Day Speakeasy.
Sounds like a good place. Have one for me.
Oh, you don't want to go?
I gotta go do homework.
All right. Well, shoot me your number. I can send pictures. Man, that works good.
Radio check.
Radio check successful. KZHAF.
Your guys' club on Facebook with the frequencies. I'm looking to get my license. I was wondering if you guys are still offering volunteer examiners so I could do an in-person test instead of having to do the online one.
This will be the last transmission, but if you don't have a license, you are not allowed to talk here. And that's the end of it. W8RCY from W8FU.
Hello.
Yeah, there was like some major, major snafu on the service drive right when you get off 696, so I have to detour into the sub. Well, that sub has no outlet, so I got to run all the way up to 12, and then I'm right at home. So I'm going to just go home, change, hop in my car, so it's going to be a little delayed. I'll give you a call. It'll be within the hour, but I'm just going to get around this, whatever this snafu is here.
There's a whole bunch of construction trucks and cranes and stuff, so I don't know what the hell's going on, but it's right where the eastbound service draw, you know, eastbound 11 mile road crisscrosses over. Something seriously jacked up. Anyhow, so I'm a little delayed.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call and the information, and there is a way to get out of there. If you can get past that, you can turn into Parkview Village, and it'll come out onto 12 Mile, or onto the corner there for future reference.
Are you sure about that? I've lived here my whole life, and there's never been a way in the Parkview from the sub.
Well, I don't have a GPS up in front of me right now, but it's that traffic light. Okay, you got the traffic light into my sub. The next traffic light is Parkview, and it's like an L-shaped thing, and you will come out right at that light, and then the next light up would be me. But don't worry about it. I'll try to find it because I'm not sure, but I believe that's how it works. But we'll get it clarified for future reference.
Yes, but those apartments don't have an entrance into the sub. There's no way to get to those apartments from from either James Givens or I forget what the other street is here. But that's the problem, is you can't get into those apartments from off of 11 Mile Road unless you period. Can't get to them from off 11 Mile Road in any way.
Okay, well then we'll see you in about maybe 15, 20 minutes from now. Again, take your time and just get here safely.
Yep, I just crossed over into my sub, so I'll go home first and change and switch to my car and all that good stuff. So maybe by that time, maybe I'll do a shopping trip then. So that probably works out pretty good. All right, I'll give you a call when I hit the road in a bit. W8FU.
N8DBS.
W8FU. Rolling.
Where might you be rolling, sir?
K8RUH.
I am rolling to the Donald's to deploy a meshtastic node on his 100-foot windowsill.
Meshtastic is a drug.
Yeah, like an impotent drug.
Well, it's just cheap enough you don't feel guilty every time you buy a new node.
You feel a little violated, but not guilty.
That's better verbiage. Same thoughts.
Fine. I'm on my way home. I'm stopping at the UPS store real quick to return something, but making my way back to the east side right now.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon, Dakota. Anthony, if by any chance you were going to get off in the Quinter 696 area, don't. I don't know what's going on, but they've got that bridge going over the freeway east of the Quinter. Something's going on. There's utility trucks and cranes and all sorts of stuff. It's just a mess.
Are you talking that when you are going westbound 696, getting off at the service drive there to 11 Mile?
Correct. That's the way I went. I couldn't get through, so I had to turn into the subdivision. And you have to run that all the way up to 12. So, and there's no way south. It looks like they were looping people back around. So. I don't know what was going on, but it was a mess, and I never got near it. I turned into the sub and
ran north. But I would just stay away from there for right now. If I don't know where you're going or where you're getting off on your way home, but if that has anything to do with it, find an alternative.
I made that mistake this morning. I got caught up in that. So, yeah, I'm going to steer clear of that.
Okay, timely information over. Dakota, go ahead.
Don't sweat it. Isn't that what radio's for? Knowing the traffic conditions of the road?
Something like that. But anyhow, I am at Donald's. I'm going to park and then go get myself buzzed in. Be 5 or 10 minutes. I never can figure out where to park here. It's got to be back here. That's reserved, so I can't park there. So it must be right here. All right, I'll catch you guys in a bit. W8FU.
NADVF, go ahead, Anthony.
Dakota, sorry to leave you hanging there, buddy, but I'm going to run into the UPS store. I should be 3 to 5 minutes. I'll be right back. KE8RUH.
Got 26 to go.
KE8RUH. Dakota, I'm back in the car.
That was like less than 2 minutes.
They certainly make it quick to do Amazon returns, that's for sure.
Still waiting for a bunch of money from those guys. Like, you drop it off, you know, they want you to return it before they can start the process, and just return it, and they're like, oh, within 30 days, it'll be refunded.
Usually when I return stuff, it's small stuff, so I just let them credit with Amazon credit. So I usually get it within, like, 2 hours.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. If you, if it's under $100, it's usually refunded out as soon as it's dropped off. And, yeah, if you go that route, you get the money immediately.
Yeah, like, this all it was a watch, Apple watch band that my wife didn't like that I got her for Christmas. So, it was like $20. I'll have it by the time I get home, probably.
I always find myself, if I have Amazon gift card money, though, I think of it as it's not real money, which is a horrible thought process that I end up buying some stuff. So, sometimes I try to avoid doing that, especially if it's
Oh, I know how that goes. I had a customer that gave me a sizable Amazon gift card for Christmas, and I bought a bunch of BS with it. But I did get that UV Pro out of the deal. That's the only reason I bought that thing. But then you run into a lot of times, it's with radio stuff, you can find it on Amazon, but it's often more expensive or, you know, something weird. It's easier to just go to DXE or Gigaparts or something like that. So, I don't know. It spends easy, though, that's for sure.
It is unfortunate how little radio equipment is on Amazon for, you know, what it should be and quick delivery. But that's what I always end up doing. I go to DXE. And then I always make sure I spend $100, and then I get free shipping, and then I get it the next day. So, at the end of the day, it saves me money from ordering on Amazon, and I get it faster, but none of it is ever, I need this right now.
Absolutely. Hey, on a different note, have you ever kept a Garmin watch, like a Fenix or whatever, long enough that you had charging port issues?
No, not that I had charging port issues, but my Fenix 5X Plus that I told my buddy like 2 years ago. I bought that thing in 2017, I think. And it just now died. He said it's been food looping after it was trying to do an update or something. So I was like, I might be able to fix that.
Yeah, mine software functions perfectly, but I can't get it to charge. I have one charger that will charge it sometimes. Otherwise, every cable I have, including the original, just will not charge the device. It's really weird. I gotta get a call in or an email into customer support over there and see if there's anything they can do about it.
So on my 5X Plus that I had, and I got a 7X Sapphire Solar now. They had that weird, like, three-prong, like, oval plug thing. It would get weird if it got gummed up and grimy. So every now and then I would take a Q-tip or a toothpick and some isopropyl, and I would scrape everything out and clean it out, because I wear my watch literally 24/7. The only time it's not on is when it's charging. And usually, I take that back. My new house, the water is fantastic, which is gross, because my old house, I always thought it was like soap scum building up on my watch band. Oh no, it was just the water being that hard. The new house, my watch looks like it's brand new still, aside from the wear marks on it, but I always cleaned out that port. So I would give that a whirl. I would look inside the charging cable, make sure that's clean, and I'd be willing to bet after you clean it, it starts charging.
Yeah, I've cleaned it a few times. I gotta maybe give it a little bit better effort or something. I don't know. I've done it with a Q-tip. I've done it with a toothpick. I don't know. I'll give it another run before I start complaining, but it's been a little while. It's several different chargers. So
who cares?
But I just would hate to have to go buy a new one because they're so stinking expensive. When this one functions well, it just doesn't charge well.
Yeah, worst case scenario, though, there's no way that's not a serviceable part. If yours is anything, I don't know which model you have, but mine, I can take the back plate off, and they should be able to just change the charge port out if need be. That's the main reason I buy Phoenix or Garmin watches, because they just work forever. It takes so much to kill these things, and in my opinion, you actually get your money's worth out of them versus, like, an Apple Watch, where you're going to get 4 years, maybe. Greg's an exception because you got a new battery, but, like, 4 years, I think, start to become very obsolete, and the battery's toast versus these, where there's really nothing to go obsolete on them, right? They're just outdoor watches that are very rudimentary.
Yeah, I have a Phoenix 5 Sapphire, so, I mean, I beat the crap out of it, and it functions great, so, like I said, I'd hate to have to buy a new one, but hopefully, like you said, it's a serviceable part, and if I can't figure it out, they can fix it or something, but we'll see. Get it done soon here. I don't know. It's just frustrating. And if I was running the GPS every day on it, I'd be going bonkers trying to get it charged.
Is Eric out here?
Good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, I saw that throw coming
in. This is KF8BOT, Eric.
No, not you, bot. This is W8EAP. Yes, I can hear you when you key up. I'm in full duplex. Yeah. Is that Anthony and... it's Anthony, Eric, and Dakota.
All right, I don't know if I know Eric. And what was that call again?
KF8BOT.
Bot. Okay, I thought you said POT. I'm like, that's kind of a cool call sign.
Yeah, I like mine. That one would be a real good one, though.
Well, Eric, nice to meet you. I'll get this back into a round table here. I will hand it over to, I'll give it to you, and then you can give it to Anthony, and Anthony give it to Eric.
I was just wanting to stop and say hi. I listen to you guys quite a bit in the afternoons on my way home, but that was pretty much about it. I appreciate the information on the Sapphire watches. I've looked at those, but I wasn't... Yeah, I've looked at those real hard, actually, but I think I just made up my mind just from listening to you guys, and I appreciate that. KF8BOT.
Yeah, they're great watches. I've had mine, I want to say, 6 or 7 years, and I wear it every single day, nonstop, and other than this latest charging port issue, never had a problem with it. I've had other Garmin watches. They typically stand behind their product. The watch before I had this one, it failed and it was way out of warranty, and they sent me a brand new one. I sold that one and bought this one. So, I mean, they're a good company to deal with, and their watches are awfully rugged. My only complaint is the bands wear out quickly, and the third-party bands are just as bad. But otherwise, they're great watches, and you can buy bands on Amazon for $10 a piece and just keep 5 of them in a drawer, and it'll get you through a year or a year and a half. So it's a great watch. But over to you, Eric.
Well, guys, I hate to say it, but I have to run in and get some food for tonight. Y'all have a great day, and I will look for you tomorrow about the same time. So, 73, this is KF8, BOT, and good to hear you guys and meet you.
All right, Eric, it was great meeting you. Enjoy your dinner. Dakota and I will talk to you tomorrow, maybe. This is KE8RUH monitoring.
Still there, Dakota?
K8RUH, I'm here.
Hey, there you go. So I just dropped off the new Mad ones at Donald's, and I'm looking. They got no balconies on the floor above them. That's weird, except for in the lobby. I'm looking now. How could I get one up there? And then on the roof, they've got this air handling unit that's another, looks like it's another full story. Man, if you get that bad boy up to 10, 11, 11 plus, you're going to have to figure out how to get on the roof. I'm going to have to tell them I'm the service guy for the air handling unit.
There you go. Where's that one at?
There was a double. Who was that? Was that Fred?
Yeah, I'm wondering what the hell you're doing.
I was just swapping out a T-beam for a Helltech V3, an external antenna at the Donald's apartment high-rise. Mad 1, if you see that one on your map.
Well, I don't see anything, but that's because mine's not on. All right. I'm looking. Just went to the post box and got some parts.
There you go. Yeah, Anthony, Fred's working on a new design, kind of based on, did you see that one that Dave put in the Slack, or I mean in the Telegram, with, it had a 1-watt module and a nice little screen board?
Yeah, was that like
no, because I'm not in Telegram.
I can't remember. Anyhow, Fred's doing a variation of that, except for this one is he has to buy the RF units separate, and then he gets the boards, you know, separately. So, but it, in the end, it'll be the same as that one that Dave posted. Fred?
Yeah, I'm not in Telegram, so I don't know. All right, I found... need a UFL to SMA, and I got one right here. What else do I need? Need an antenna. I'm going to go solder one up and see what we get here.
There you go. Sounds like a winner. Anyhow, I am at Kroger's, so I've got Anthony out here and Fred, and I don't know if Dakota's here or gone or whatever, but I got to get inside and do some grocery shopping. I've grossly neglected.
Sean, real quick, and then I got to cut out too, but whereabouts is that one located that you put up at Donald's apartment? Was that in Troy or Madison Heights? I can't remember where that one was going.
It's like 11 in the Quinner-ish.
Very cool. All right, great. Have a good evening. I'll be monitoring for another 5 minutes or so. K8RU.
Okay, like I said, I'm out at Kroger's. Got to get the shopping done. I'll be back. W8FU.
My bad, guys. I had to jump out. I had a call.
That's all right. Sometimes you got to take phone calls.
Usually pretty good. I don't get many outside of work hours, but it's still, I guess we're still technically operational right now, so no big thing. But now I'm turning onto my street.
I'm not far off, so I will, I'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. I don't know, I'm going to try to maybe swing by Friday and pick up that the APRS I-gate, but we'll stay in contact. I might have to take my car in to get some service done, so we'll see what happens.
All right, man, sounds good. Yeah, I meant to say that earlier. I actually have it in my center console, so I don't want to forget. I did forget to bring an extra pie, but I'll throw one in the truck tonight. So. All right, call's coming in. I'll talk to you in the morning. NADGF, I'm clear.
Later. K8RU. We're all good.
W8FU.
Are you sure?
I'm wearing his underwear.
Sounds kinky.
At least that's what it has written in the waistband, like Mom used to always do.
He just showed the cameras on the news again. Aww. Those silly semen boys with cameras all around the state. I tell ya.
You're sending those kind of pics to people.
Well, yeah. And they show it on the news, too.
Would a picture of FF texted to somebody constitute a dick pic?
Probably. I sent you a few dick pics there, didn't I? And a dick video.
Well, there you go. Oh, man, just got done at Kroger's. I had this one couple. Looked to be in their mid to late 30s. Maybe mid-30s, maybe not late. Kid, about 10, 11. And every single aisle I go down, they'd be just like lollygagging, not paying attention. The kid would be blocking the left. The cart would be blocking the center. They'd be off there kibitzing on the right every time. It seemed like I ran into them every aisle. It was just, you know, and I would stand there with this look on my face like, you know, any time now. And then they'd eventually, they'd like, you know, oh, sorry. And then, you know, they'd take 5 minutes to move out of my way. It's like, oh, my God. Some people you just want to beat with the shillelagh.
You know, that's why I have a wife. She goes and does all that crap, so I don't have to worry about it.
Well, maybe in another life, but here I am. So, all right, anyhow, I am home with the groceries. I got to get them on inside. Back in a while. W8FU.
All right, trying to see how many of these boards I should order. I clocked out and beat up. So beat up with them.
How, I'm going to probably, if you get a solution for Clem, I'll want one for Warren, too. I'm more than willing to cough up the funds for them. Those two sites require that kind of an affair, so count me in for two. I've got a couple of other tentative plans for semi, but I don't necessarily have the network and the POE at a couple of the sites. But it at least would allow me to, I could do a POE injector from the inside, and then that would at least give me a, you know, I wouldn't have to go crawling out to it to work on it. And I'd be able to power it at the sites that I don't have 44 net, obviously, at least now. Anywho, so promising, you say you got one up and running and it's looking good?
Well, yeah, I think, well, you must not have checked your telegram. Sent your picture. Damn thing, as soon as I put the piece of config on the Pi that I was using with the other boards testing, and it booted up, boom, it exchanged location data with my other, GPU, and I started just sending a bunch of broadcasts, like, Ipsen packets through it, just like huge messages, and it was just flooding the channel. And I'm like, yep, I guess it's working, a lot better than the other two boards I tried.
Yeah, mine hasn't arrived yet. I gotta throw it right back in the Amazon box. I'm not even gonna pull it out of the wrapper. All right, I do gotta get these groceries in. That'll be it if you
get your groceries in. I'll be here. That'll be it.
Hello, Fred. AB Pierre. How you doing?
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Okay, just heading to bowling night, Virginia.
Bowling. I haven't been on a bowling league in 14, 15 years since I bowled. Your own repeater there.
You're kidding, I'm right under it.
Well, that thing made it full quieting, but yeah, the last transition, it was chopping noise.
That's weird. I can literally see the tower from where I'm sitting at this trap.
Traffic light, I can see the tower, and then you said 5, and then you just went noise.
Alright, let's try it to the FBI. Is that better?
Oh, you made it through the whole transmission.
I don't know what's going on there. It did throw the preamplifier in there that I got in a swap. I wonder if it's screwing up.
Your preamp for you.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't bowled on the league in 15 years. It was more like an excuse to drink, so.
Yeah, well, our group doesn't drink much, so we buy a lot from the stat bar. So, yeah, I said that the way I'm bowling, it might as well be 15 years off. So, hopefully I'll do better tonight. I've been away for a month from bowling, so, and I was in California roasting marshmallows.
I was going to say, is there anything left out there?
Not a lot. My son's house is right outside the evacuation zone. It's literally, the hill going up his backyard is the edge of the evacuation zone. The other side of the hill is mandatory evacuation. He's just on this side of it.
I guess my cousins are down in San Diego, so they're south of it all right now. Yeah. I've got a couple other friends who are, one's I think in Long Beach, and the other one is in Irvine, and they're okay so far.
Yeah, those areas are fine, but that Pacific Palisades is so weird, because I drove through it like 3 days before the fire started, and, you know, just admiring, wow, how beautiful this is. Look at those great homes. You know, just, you know, wonder which stars live up there, and you know, 3 days later, it's all gone.
Oh, yeah, some of the drone photos I've seen are just, you know, before and after photos of aerial stuff is just nuts.
Yeah, they've been showing a lot of the news reports were at first were at this entrance to this mobile home park that's right across the ocean, in the ocean, along the PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, near Malibu. And last year we were out there, and we were kind of saying, well, I wonder what it costs to live out here, and we said, probably the most affordable place would be something like that place. And we actually looked at a couple of units in that park. I'm glad we didn't buy, because it's all gone now.
Well, I would not want to. I know, we get our natural disasters like, tornadoes and flooding and all that stuff. But, I mean, just a fire like that just to go
phew. Yeah, we're in the garden spot. I mean, there's a website out there. It goes through every state and crosses them off as places to live in the like 50 years from now because of all the natural disasters. And the only one left is Michigan. It's in plenty of water, you know, even tornadoes have become so rare. No major floods, no wildfires, no earthquakes to speak of, no hurricanes. And this is, everybody's going to be walking here in a while.
Well, I don't know. I brought my new truck home was it April or May? Oh. March? First of March or whatever it was last year, and the day I bring it home, we had a tornado a half a mile from the house, so yeah, I think it was a tornado.
Yeah, but not as much as we used to. I remember getting tornado warnings, you know, 2, 3, 4 a year. I mean, last year, I don't think there was any, at least in my area. The year before that, I don't think there were. I really think that most of the tornadic activity has moved south. It's really intense down in Oklahoma, Texas, you know, even down in Arkansas, they've had a lot of them.
Oh, hell, November, we had the one in Holly in November. Took off the VFW's roof and condemned that building and a couple other buildings here in Holly. That was just in November.
Yeah, I'm not saying there aren't any. I mean, there definitely are. But compared to the destruction caused by that, compared to what's going on out in California, is literally a drop in the bucket.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure a few people out there would just like to have a single VFW lose its roof versus multiple hundreds of blocks like that. Oh.
Yep. Well, what's going on here? Oh, they got a lane block? Oh, my God. Okay. And you look at the weather map these days, and you see all the bad stuff comes, like, from the west, like, toward us, then it goes south of us, and then goes up the east coast. It seems like we're in a bubble for most things. We don't get, you know, they got that major snowstorm going on down south. Or did it already go through? It might have already gone through. And we just get up dusting. You know, seems like that's how most of the stuff goes.
Yeah, my brother's out, and sister-in-law and nephew are out in Phoenix, and they have Hadoops or Beeves or whatever the hell they call it. They get those warnings for the, you know, sand storms. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I've never been in a sandstorm, but I imagine that's got to be awful. It gets into everything. Wow. It'd be like, you know, you see your car after you're going through one of those, it'd be like a sandblasted. Yeah, that's awful. I don't ever want to experience that.
Yeah, my parents were out there one time for one, and it was, they were like, yep, it looks like this big wall coming towards you.
Yeah, see, there's a Cybertruck on a trailer. Ooh, I wonder what happened to that. Speaking of that, but, you know, out in California, they're everywhere. Within a 2 blocks of my son's house, there's two of them. One of them's orange. You ever seen an orange Cybertruck?
I see him gold. Someone wrapped. I see him wrapped in gold. There's a all black one around here that we've seen a couple times, and a couple of silver ones. I just find that, you know, amusing.
Yeah, I've seen black ones and silver ones here. Pretty much the only color I've ever seen here, but there I saw all kinds. So there's a white one right down the street. And that just, I don't know, something about it just doesn't look good in white.
Kind of reminds me of my Aztec with the squared lines like that. I miss my Aztec some days. My little brother still is driving his Aztec. He got his first, and then I got mine about 6 months or a year later, and he's still driving that damn Aztec. I don't know what's holding it together, but he's still driving it.
Yeah, they must have a lot of utility, because I think they've been voted like one of the ugliest cars on the road. But is that the one? Maybe I'm kind of confused. Is that the one where like you can create a tent out of the back of it?
Yeah, it was like one of the 10 most ugliest cars ever. And yeah, they had the tent add-on where the back would do that and all that. And they had like a party grill add-on or some other ones. I'm like, when people said it's an ugly car, I'm like, yeah, but I don't see it from inside the car. It was great inside it and drove fine. I don't have to look at it. You all have to look at it.
And Sean would say, there you go. Okay. All right, I'm approaching my destination very quickly. Talk to you later. Nice catching up with you. W8FSM, maybe a PR.
Yes, thank you.
KEA-TFM.
Echo 8 with the Oscar Golf.
Foxtrot 8, Charlie, Texas, Tango.